In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27, we read the account of Christ's crucifixion. In verse 26, we read that Pilate released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, cast in lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. "Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" He trusted in God. "Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" He trusted in God, they said. They mocked him because they did not believe he was the Son of God. And they mocked how he trusted in God. Here they've taken him. And here he is, nailed to a cross to be crucified, to die a slow and a lingering death. And as far as these enemies of Christ are concerned, he cannot escape. And they look on as he suffers there, and they see no help coming. And to them, this man who trusted in God and spake of God, and spake of God's glory and God's kingdom, and declared himself to be the very Son of God, this man in their eyes was as nothing, Where is thy God? They ask, as we read in the Psalms. Where's your God now? Where's your God delivering you now? You trusted in God, you trust in God. Well, where is he when you need him? Here you are dying. Where's your God? Here you are in the worst of circumstances. Where's your God? He trusted in God. Here we have displayed before us the very faith of Jesus Christ. Even his enemies knew he trusted in God. They knew where his faith was. They knew in whom he believed, rested and trusted. And they deride him because they see nothing in it. To the outward eye, his God had abandoned him. Here he was suffering and dying, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where has his faith brought him? Where is his God? Why is he forsaken? Oh, what faith, what trust Christ had. This is the hour when his faith was tried. This is the hour above all hours when Christ must trust his God. Here before us is the faith of Jesus Christ. We read throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament exposition of the gospel, that salvation comes not through works, but through faith. That justification is by faith, not by works. That we are saved by grace through faith. How often the apostles contrast faith and works. And show before us that the works of man cannot save. Their best works cannot save. Our righteousnesses cannot save us. Our keeping of the law cannot save us. Nothing we can do in our own strength and by our own will make us perfect before God. But salvation comes through faith. Salvation comes through looking outside of ourselves, outside of what we are and what we do, what we will, what we desire, what we think and what we say. Outside of ourselves completely, because in ourselves there is nothing but sin. However hard we strive, however good we think we are, deep down we're full of sin. Everything we do is tainted by sin. Everything we say is tainted by sin. All our desires are ruled by sin. We're not pure. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. And despite our best efforts to reform ourselves, despite our best efforts to seek after God and to live right before him, we come in before him guilty through and through. We've broken his law from start to finish. We've fallen short of his glory. We're so full of self-interest so full of our own pride and our own glory, that even when we strive to seek God, and even when we strive to live right before Him and live right before others, we're so full of sin and so full of guilt that we can't possibly be saved. He looks upon us with strict justice and righteousness and finds even the very best of men completely guilty. We're condemned before we start. We're born sinning. We're born as sinners. We're born full of sin, and we go astray from the womb, speaking lies. Then there's nothing we can do, even if we change our ways. There's nothing we can do about our past sins. Our past condemns us. And the sin within us condemns us. And our sinful heart condemns us. We're guilty. Then works can't possibly save a sinner. Which is why in the scriptures we read that salvation is of God, and salvation comes through our sin being taken away by another. The way a sinner is saved is through Jesus Christ and His death. The reason Christ was at the cross here is because He came in the sinner's place, and He stood in the sinner's place to bear the sinner's sin and sins and condemnation, and to die the death that they deserve to die. And it's because He took the sins of His people away, and the sin of His people away, and the condemnation against that sin away, that He can look upon them and say, "Be washed in My blood." His blood cleanses from all sin because He paid the price, and He took the sin away, and He took the judgment and the condemnation away. And what He suffered in the darkness, what He suffered from the sixth hour through to the ninth hour, when He cried out, "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" was the judgment and the wrath of God against all His people throughout all time. And because He suffered and died in their place, He brought in for them righteousness and salvation and life and the forgiveness of sins, and the shedding of His blood washed them from every sin. So far from being a defeat, far from being the end of Christ, far from being something to mock and deride Him with, these hours upon the cross, when He trusted in God, are those hours that wrought salvation for a countless multitude. And the death He suffered could not keep them in the grave, and could not keep Him in the grave. For despite all that the Jews did to seal the tomb that He was then buried in, as the chapter describes, on the third day, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And Christ was risen. The angel answered the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, He is risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Even the grave could not hold Him. Yes, He trusted in God. And because He trusted in God, He delivered His people from their sins. And that people who could not deliver themselves, that people who could not live aright before God themselves. That people who could not save themselves through their own effort or their own will or their own works are justified by faith. They're brought by the power of God to hear of what Christ did on this day and to look unto him by faith and believe on him who suffered in their place that they through his death might live. And they discover that justification and salvation is not by works, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God, through faith. As Paul says in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Through faith. Yes, we'll never be saved by our works. If we're saved, we're brought by the work of the Spirit of God, who gives us life and faith to believe on Jesus Christ. We're brought to look unto him by faith and to believe on him and to see in this day, to see in the events of this day when he suffered upon the cross our salvation. He trusted in God. So there is that faith which God gives unto his people to look outside of themselves and their own efforts and to look by faith unto Christ and to know that he is their Saviour and he delivered them by laying down his life in their place. But their faith looks and trusts and rests in his faith. Their faith and their salvation is founded upon what Christ did on this day in laying down his life in their place, in bearing their sins and the judgment against them, in dying in the place of sinners. Their faith looks to him and looks to what he did. But looks to what he did as he trusted in God. Their faith rests in his faith. If you're saved through faith, if you're saved by the grace of God through faith, it's a faith that God gives you which looks and rests in the faith of Jesus Christ and what that faith caused him to do upon the cross. And without the faith of Christ, our faith would have nothing to rest in. Salvation is not simply by faith in terms of us. It's also in terms of what Christ did. The accusation that the scribes and the elders brought against Christ, the mockery that they brought upon him, the scorn that they poured upon him, was that they derided his faith. They saw in this man a man of faith, a man who walked before his God and his Father, a man who spake of his God and his Father, a man who trusted in his God and his Father. And they saw that faith and they saw that trust and they saw how he spake and walked before them and they sneered at it and derided it and mocked it and set it at naught. And here they are crucifying him and they think they've brought it all to nothing. But it's at this very hour that he needed this faith and his trust in God more than at any other time. It's his faith that brought him through the darkness. It's his faith that brought him through the cross. It's his faith that brought him through the judgment. It's his faith that brought him through the storms of God's outpouring of wrath upon him. Like the ark upon the waters as the storms came down when Noah and his family were hid inside, hid inside the ark. The people of God hidden in the ark that felt the brunt of the force of God's wrath in judgment. That ark, a picture of Christ, in whom the people of God were hid as he came into the darkness at this hour, and the judgment and the rains of God's wrath came upon him, and the fires of God's wrath came upon him. And he, the ark of God, with his people within, went through the storms as he trusted and rested in God. Yes, it's his faith that saved his people. If you're his, if you know his salvation, you're saved because of the faith of Jesus Christ, and without his faith you'd never be saved. But you may say, surely it's what he did that saved me, it's his works that saved me. Yes, it is. Because he died upon the cross that you're saved. But he only died because he trusted in his God. He was only able to offer himself up because he believed and trusted that what he was doing at that hour would bring about the salvation of his people. He could enter into that darkness and suffer the forsaking of his own Father, bear the sins of his people and the judgment that should come down. He could go into the abyss and cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because despite all the outward circumstance, despite all that came upon him, he knew and believed that his God would bring about the salvation of his people through the offering up of Christ in their place. He knew that though he died, they would live. He knew that he would be satisfied. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Isaiah says in chapter 53. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He knew that though he suffered, though he travailed in his soul at that hour, he believed and trusted that he would see the fruit, see the results, see the salvation of all those for whom he suffered. He knew that though he was in darkness, the light would return. He trusted in God. He trusted in God, they said. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And his Father did deliver him. Not at that moment, because he must suffer if he would deliver his people. But on the third day, he rose again victorious. His trust was not misplaced. His faith did not come to nothing. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He saw the results. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He bore their iniquities. That's why the darkness came upon him. That's why the judgment came down upon him. That's why the Father forsook him in beating and bruising him and judging him for their sins. But when he drank the cup of God's wrath to its dregs and there was no more to drink, then he saw their salvation. Then his faith was rewarded. He trusted in God. Do you see his faith here? Do you believe in his faith? Do you see that it's his faith and the works of his faith, what that faith caused him to do in laying down his life, as it were, passively? His great work of faith was to die, was, as it were, to stop doing anything else and take the consequences which were borne upon him. Oh, what faith! Paul expounds upon this faith in various places in the epistles, in Romans and Galatians and Ephesians. We read in Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We believe on him, that we might be justified by his faith, and not by the works of the law. It wasn't Christ's obedience to the law that saved us, though until this hour upon the cross, he had magnified and fulfilled and kept that law perfectly, and the law could find no fault in him. Nevertheless, despite that, God still had to lay the sins of his people upon him. And it's this bearing of those sins and taking those sins away and the judgment of them that justified his people. We're justified by what happened at this hour in his death through his faith. Therefore, we believe on him that we might be justified by his faith and not by the works of the law. Paul goes on, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law as performed by us, or by the works of the law as performed by Christ? If it was Christ's works of the law which justified us, then there would have been no need for him to die. And this statement of Paul's would be undermined, because Paul says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, righteousness does not come by the law. It comes through the death of Christ. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, he died because righteousness doesn't come by the law. He died to bring in righteousness through his death. And that righteousness comes in because of his faith, because of the trust that he had in God as he died, that God would lay upon him the sins of his people and judge those sins according to righteousness and blot them out. And so bring in the righteousness of God for his people. The law brought in our judgment. The law commanded our death. The law, as our substitute, commanded the death of Christ when God took our sins and laid them upon him. When he suffered in the place of his people, the law condemned those sins which were theirs and condemned Christ as he bore them. That's what the law did. It did not bring salvation. It did not bring righteousness. It brought condemnation. But Christ, in bearing the judgment of the law, in bearing the penalty, in dying in the sinner's place, and in looking up unto God by faith and trusting in him as he suffered in their place, brought in righteousness for them. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, says Paul. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What did Christ do through his faith? He loved Paul and gave himself for him. That's what his trust and his faith in his God caused him to do. He loved him and gave himself for him. And in giving himself for him, he died for him. And Paul, mysteriously, in the purpose of God, died with him. The old man Paul, the old man Saul, was slain. And the old man being crucified, the new man Paul rose again with his Saviour Christ. And he rises again in the newness of everlasting life. And he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. What is this life he's got now? It's Christ. And the life which he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God. The faith which Paul received through the gospel, by the power of the Spirit of God, to believe in Christ. And to believe in his salvation and to believe in his death is the very faith by which Christ brought in that salvation. It's the very faith of the Son of God. That's the faith Paul receives as he's made one with Christ. Because Paul knew that he could not be justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So he believed in Jesus Christ that he might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Oh, what salvation Paul saw in the faith of Jesus Christ. He says elsewhere in Romans, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. At this hour, upon the cross, the righteousness of God was manifested by the faith of Christ without the law. By the faith of Christ without the law. Christ upon the cross was not working. He was not keeping the law's commands. He was suffering under the law's penalty and judgment. And in contrast to what the law did to him in judgment, we see his faith and trust in God as he puts himself under its penalty. In Philippians, Paul mentions again that his desire is to win Christ. His desire is to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, what faith Christ had, and how we see it at this hour. He trusted in God. He trusted in God. He was not the only one who trusted. He trusted in the Father. But as the Father sent his Son into the world to go to the cross and to suffer under the outpouring of God's wrath and so fulfill that eternal covenant made between the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, as the Father looked on, and as the Father sent his own Son and knew that his Son would be led up the mountain, as Abraham led Isaac up the mountain and knew that he would be sacrificed, the Father too suffered. It was the Father here offering up his Son in order that his people might be saved. Oh, the Son felt the bruising. Oh, Christ felt the rejection, as it were, because of what he was made to be, because he bore the sins of his people. He felt the agony in the darkness. But oh, what an agony the Father felt as he had to slay his own son, as he had to beat him and bruise him, as he killed him because of the sins that he bore. And how the Father trusted in Christ. He trusted in his own son. He trusted that he would go to the cross. He trusted that he would bear his people's sin. He trusted that he would go through the judgment. And he trusted that he would rise again. He trusted his son. He knew his son loved his people. He knew his son loved him. He knew he would do all that he had promised to do. Oh, how the Father trusted in his own son. They covenanted together. They made a promise in the Godhead. He kept his promise. The Son kept his promise and the Father kept his promise. They could not break it. Paul speaks of this in Ephesians in chapter 1. Speaking of Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We believe in Christ. We trust in Christ. We know that his death was effectual. But the first to trust was the Father, who loved him and gave him, as he loved his people and gave himself for them. Oh, what trust, what faith the Father had in his own son. The faith of Christ. The trust of God in his own son. Some will tell us that these verses which point to the faith of Christ should be read as his faithfulness. He went to the cross. He died. He did all that he promised to the Father. He was faithful. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, they say. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faithfulness of Christ. Or verse 22 of Romans 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, or faithfulness of Jesus Christ, they say. But the translators haven't used the word faithfulness. They've used the word faith. And whilst the word could be read in that sense, and whilst it could encompass that sense, it's the faith that is being singled out. Yes, Christ was faithful. Yes, he did all that he promised and purposed. Yes, he was obedient in all things. And yes, his faith brought forth works, as faith does. Because he believed and trusted in the Father, he did come into the world. He did walk before him perfectly. He did go to the cross. He did lay down his life. But those actions sprang from his faith. And when Paul says the faith of Jesus Christ, he means the faith of Christ. The accusation against him by the scribes here and the elders was that he trusted in God. They saw his trust. They saw his belief. They saw his faith. And they mocked him. They didn't mock his deeds and his works. They mocked his faith. And it was his faith without the works of the law. His dying in the place of sinners that brought in their salvation. And it's that faith that becomes their faith. Not simply faithfulness, but faith A belief in what cannot be seen. A belief in what has not come to pass. Christ went into the darkness of the cross, believing and trusting in God that what was promised would come to be. He looked into the darkness and could not see through it, but he believed he would come through it. He believed there would be light again. He believed that all for whom he suffered would live and would rise up with him. He believed that though he died, they and he would rise up alive, victorious. He looked through the darkness and believed the promise. And when we are brought in the gospel to believe on Christ, we believe that which is promised. We believe that which we've yet to see. We weren't there at the time. We didn't see this with our eyes. We cannot see God with the physical eyes, and we cannot see what will come about when we go from this world into the next. But we're brought to see by faith. God opens our eyes by faith, and we see in the gospel Christ suffering for us. And we see in the gospel Christ buried for us, and we see ourselves buried with him, and we see our sins buried with him, and we see in the gospel us rising up with him from the grave in newness of life. We see by faith the righteousness of God which is made ours. We see by faith the righteousness of God manifested by the faith of Christ. We see his trust and his hope and his faith in his God. And we see the Father's trust in his own Son. And we see the love of God and the love of Christ shed abroad. And it's shed abroad in our own hearts. We see by faith. And we believe in that which is yet to come. We know by faith that when we die, we won't be condemned. Because the condemnation has already fallen upon Christ. The judgment is passed and righteousness is brought in. We know that when we come to stand before God in eternity, that we will be clothed in righteousness. We know we've been washed by the blood because faith tells us so. And which faith is this? Is it something we have by nature? Is it something we're born with? Is it something we work up? Or strive at or convince ourselves to have? No, it isn't. We're born in darkness. We're born in sin. We're born blind. We have no faith. But God, in the gospel, as we read in Ephesians, by grace gives us faith to see. He opens the blind eyes to see. And he takes of the faith of Christ and gives it unto his people. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from the faith of Christ unto the faith of the believer which is given unto him. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that faith that's given to him is the very faith by which Christ died. It's the Spirit's work to give us this faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, that and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But this faith causes us to look unto him who lived and walked by faith, and who came at this hour as he trusted his God and died by faith. He trusted in God. Do you trust in God? Do you have this God-given faith? Do you look alone unto Christ and his blood for salvation? Can you, with Paul, say that you know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ? So I have believed in Jesus Christ, that I might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In which do you seek to justify yourself? How shall you be justified? By the works of the law? Your works, another's works? Or by faith? It's by faith. It's by faith. Yes, Christ kept the works of the law. Christ kept the law in his lifetime. But that didn't save us. It's what he did in the hours of darkness. He trusted in God. He bore the sins of his people. He took the judgment away. That the righteousness of God, the perfection of God, which we see in Christ and we see in his lifetime. For he was perfect and the law could find no fault in him. Because he was perfect. And the righteousness of God shone out from all he did and all he said. But for that righteousness to be made ours, for us to be justified, he must take our sins away. And as he died, he took our sins away. And as he died, he trusted in God that God would take those sins away and God would impute righteousness unto his people in their place. And that people would die under the penalty of the law, die with Christ, be crucified with Christ, as Paul says, that they might live again. And that the life that they now live, they might live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved them and gave himself for them. Or have you looked by faith unto Christ? Has God given you that faith to look unto him? And to trust in him and to know that in him, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When the sins were judged and blotted out, your sins were judged and blotted out. When his blood was shed, it washed you clean. And when he rose again, you rose again with him. Will others pass you by? Will others mock and scoff at you as you journey through this world and say, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. Will they mock at you? Will they mock you like they mock the Son of God? Will they mock your faith? Will they mock your hope? Yes, they will. But if you have his faith, you can be put to death. You can be beaten, outcast, derided, mocked, scoffed, trodden underfoot and put to death. And you will still trust in God. And you, like he, will be saved. For he loved his own and gave himself for them. He trusted in God. Do you trust in God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ? He trusted in God. Amen.